This is 89.1 WEMU. It is your community NPR station. I'm David Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Creative Impact. Each week, we get together with the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, Deb Pollock, and we take a look at the creative sector and its impact on our lives here in Washtenaw County. Deb, it's great to have you back.
It's always good to be with you, David. Hey, I think you're going to need to buckle up for this Creative Impact. We're going to go on a ride that's through architecture, physics, science, health, and of course, art and creativity.
Sounds like a white knuckler of sorts, but I'm certainly ready and I'm buckled.
Okay, good. So I'm going to promise you it's going to be a journey of amazing discovery. So let's introduce our guest, Sean Ahlquist, who is an associate professor at the University of Michigan's Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning.
Sean, welcome to Creative Impact, and thank you for the time.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Sean, I tried to summarize the description of your work from the website, you know, and then terms are like pre-stressed lightweight structures, textile reinforced composite materials, large-scale CNC knitting machines, composite materials for aerospace, tactile sensory environment. All this stuff just added up and I couldn't quite do it. So can you translate all of that into, let's say, the layperson's terms for us?
The easiest thing to grasp is in my lab here at the university, I have two industrial knitting machines. So this allows us to make our own bespoke textiles, select the yarn, create the material, test the material, create a new version of the material. So therefore, it allows us to explore a lot of different avenues for how textiles can play out as an architectural material to define space, to, you know, explore translucency of a material, to explore the stretchiness of the material, to explore the feel of the material. So that's really our line of investigation. And it just so happens that it's something that really appeals to a lot of collaborations across a lot of different disciplines. So with aerospace engineering, as you mentioned, we work with designers and engineers in the automotive industry. And then also through the connections with being a parent to a child with autism, looking in the kind of health and behavioral science field as well.
So you mentioned your work with children with autism. That's a pretty personal journey. Can you tell us a bit about that?
As you've mentioned, I'm a professor here in architecture, so my education is in that field. You know, I've always been intrigued, especially with the idea of this textile. You know, how do we define space and how is that space adaptive and responsive to the things that happen within these materials? And then having a daughter with autism, and particularly my daughter, who is what you classify as a sensory seeker, she's very aware of her surroundings, and she really becomes most interested in those surroundings when they have a kind of strong sensorial nature to them. So whether it's sound, whether it's light, whether it's tactility, you know, whether it's something that encompasses her body or the way she can touch it and grab it and pull on it, all these things were very engaging to her. It just kind of dawned on me, like, wait a second, these two things actually might connect. This kind of experiences I've had with my daughter and this, you know, crazy level of information that I've gathered over the years in trying to be a better parent to my daughter. And then all this, you know, crazy amount of research in this area of textiles and creating space and studying the responsiveness of an environment to an individual. I was like, you know, I think actually I could put these two things to use at the same time. And that's where that kind of connection came, and that's what spurred that line of research that's been going for actually about 6 years now at this point.
And what positive impact has all of this research and your inventions had on quality of life for your daughter and others with autism?
So we are certainly still studying that point, and it takes us a while to understand those findings. Also, it takes quite very close collaborations because, of course, I'm not educated in behavioral science. So working with people in that field to figure out how to put some metrics on that exact question that you just posed. But I think one of the most exciting factors is it's not just engaging for the child, but it's an opportunity for the child or the individual while they're engaged in this really rich sensory, multi-sensory interaction and space, it lends the tendency to also spur social interaction. And almost at sometimes require social interaction. So the way to kind of like climb through these really tight tunnels, these tight, stretchy tunnels, you almost need your friend to kind of grab your hands and help pull you through. So the priority really, I think, becomes the sensation, but it requires this social connection, this social communication, this collaborative play to be able to pull it off. That's, you know, an incredibly valuable experience to build in especially with children and individuals with autism. The opportunities for social interaction are very minimal. What that means is you just don't get the chances to practice that skill and develop the range of skills that you need in that area to be more successful in, you know, a larger community.
Creative Impact continues on 89.1 WEMU. Deb Pollack, my Creative Impact co-host, is here, and we're talking with Sean Ahlquist, Associate Professor of Architecture at the University of Michigan Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning, and we're learning about his research and innovations in the area of social sensory architecture.
So, Sean, I'd like to jump back to the prototype and your daughter, Mara, the first time she encountered that, and you watched her, or you were part with her when she was doing that. What was it like for you? Were you a researcher? Were you a dad watching that happen? Tell us about that experience.
Boy, that's a good question. So, actually, I mean, I can recall very much the first time that we had my daughter, Ada, come and see one of the first prototypes that we had developed. I don't know that I could actually kind of separate the two in terms of like wanting to see from the architect's perspective exactly what's happening. And then, of course, you know, wanting to make sure that as a dad, I'm giving her all the supports that she needs to, you know, be the amazingly creative girl that she is. And in the experience with that first prototype, you know, it was in a gallery space. There were a lot of people walking around. It's very, you know, complex space, very loud space, a lot of unpredictability happening. And you could see my daughter was kind of on edge because of it. But we brought her into this, you know, textile, playscape, stretchy environment. And I kind of, you know, gave her a few cues, like, this is what's happening. And she just kind of, you know, she led the activity from there. And she ended up wanting to do this sort of nosedive through the structure, which I had to help her with, of course, so that she didn't just kind of fall flat on her head. But, you know, I have some amazing video that captures that. And over time, we just keep looking at it more and more. And it kind of uncovers, like, all the stories that we want to dig in further. So in that case, like, you know, from the architect's perspective or from the researcher's perspective, I can see how, you know, that social component was critical, right? She really enjoyed right. that sensory experience of sliding through something upside down. That's a really strong sensation that fits the sensory seeker. But then I needed to help her to do that. So again, it requires that social interaction. And now, and here's where sort of the dad picture comes in. If she wants to do it again, she needs to communicate back with me in some way. And she's nonverbal. So that's, you know, one of our kind of bigger challenges, of course, is forming these lines of communication. So in that instance, she kind of turned back, sort of looked around, and then she turned to me and, you know, gave me a big hug and kind of pointed up. And I'm like, okay, let's do it again.
That's so great.
And what was exciting as both a dad and a researcher is now I'm just entrenched in that sensory experience. I'm a part of it. I'm, you know, inextricable from it. So to me, that was like the perfect example of how the activity and the people that are present within that environment, they're all active agents in creating this experience and in allowing my daughter to be the expressive and, you know, free-thinking individual that she, believe me, absolutely, truly is. It was extremely telling, and it's kind of something where we sort of reveal kind of new insights as we watch that video 5-6 years later.
Sean, such a fascinating story. I wish we had lots more time to go through so much more that I'm sure you have to share. But we do have to call it an end. And thank you so very much for sharing your story and the story of your daughter and the work that you're doing. We appreciate it all. Thank you.
Indeed, we do.
Great. Thank you very much for giving me the chance to talk about it.
That is Sean Ahlquist, Associate Professor of Architecture at the U of M Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning. We've been talking about his innovative social sensory architecture that creates safe spaces for children with autism. Find out more about that on WEMU's Creative Impact webpage. You'll find it at WEMU.org. And Deb Pollock will be back again with another show next week.
Absolutely, with yet another Creative Washtenaw guest.
Deb Pollock is President and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our partner in Creative Impact. It's a regular feature you hear every Tuesday. To learn more about today's guest and topic, to access the Creative Impact Archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.